Look at the man named Gaius. We'll get one more mic on here. I'm going to have to get a stronger tie. Pull me down. Oh, yes. You're all smiling. I'm glad to see that. Acts chapter... chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. We're going to look at the man named Gaius. Generally, because we're looking at a particular man, you would call this a biographical message. However, you're going to see we get into other things. Gaius is a... This sounds impressive. It's a Latin praenomen. Yeah, I didn't know what that was either, so I had to Google what Latin praenomen means. All it means is personal name. Now, why in the world didn't they just say that to start with? Huh. Anyway, it was one of the most common names throughout Roman history. The feminine form is Gaia, and it was used by the upper class families, called the patrician families in Latin culture, and the plebeian families, that's you and I, the average common folks. They both used this name. Gaius was actually the second most popular and used personal name, with Lucius being the first. It's derived from the same root word, gaudiria, and I'm sure I'm butchering that pronunciation, but it means to rejoice. You know, your name has a meaning. Now, you can go online and Google it. You'll probably find two or three definitions according to what page you go to, but you can get an idea of what your name means. How many of you know what your name means? You learned that at one point. Okay, very good. Usually, I have known some people, well, I've heard of some people, I didn't know them, heard them, that they didn't name their children until they were about a year or two old. They wanted to see how the child lived, how the child was. And then they gave a name that matched the child. Now, you know, it would be difficult. What do you say, hey, you, to the child, you know, when they're, you want to, you know, fuss over them. And hey, you, how you doing, you know. So I think the way we do it is good. But nevertheless, the name means to rejoice. Now, one website said it actually comes from agricultural background, and it means of the land. So a person named Gaius would be a person who worked with the land. I think the to rejoice, I lean toward that one. Now, Acts chapter 19, verse 21. I'm going to read through the rest of this chapter and make comments as I go. I try and get the setting. They're in Ephesus. They are traveling, itinerant Christian gospel workers. But they're going into a non-Christian environment. If you get that setting, now it's in a public meeting of sorts. I did not learn where this was. Was it like at a town park? Was it at a town hall? I believe it was outside because of the number of people that are represented in it. All right, verse 21. After these things were ended, what things? The things that are described previous to this verse 21. After these things were ended, Paul... purposed in the Spirit, he felt led by the Spirit, wasn't just his own bright idea, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia. Now, we're not going to do it now, but if you have, your Bible has maps at the back. There's usually an index to the maps. And try and get in your mind, okay, where these things are. And so I went, I looked, and I saw where Macedonia was. I saw where Achaia was. And he was purposed to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I've been there, once I got to Jerusalem, then I must also see Rome. So this man had a plan. He didn't just work on a whim. He's purposed these things in the spirit. So he sent into Macedonia two of them. He was going to go there. So he sent two of them that ministered unto him. Those two were Timotheus and Erastus. But he himself stayed in Asia. Now, Asia doesn't mean China and that. It was the Asia of that day, which is present-day Turkey. Like I say, when you're in the maps, look at it. You'll see it. You get a picture. So that when you read that, you know what's being talked about. The Bible lives. Don't let it be an old, archaic book that we just look into to find some Christian concepts. It's alive. And the same time, he sent Timotheus and Erastus. He stayed in Asia, present-day Turkey. And the same time, there arose no small stir. There was a big uprising. For a certain man named Demetrius, he's a bad guy. He was a silversmith. That means, and it tells us, that he made little silver statues for Diana. And it says there, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen. In other words, he made a lot of money by creating these little silver statues that people bought. And we're going to read it. He knew that what Paul was preaching, and because many people were following it, that his money was being threatened. That's the big issue here. Yeah. Okay? Now, he talks about not wanting people to leave the worship of this great Diana, goddess of Ephesus, but it starts with money. Verse 25, whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation. So he got all of the men in the city that made these little silver statues, he got them all together. And then he talked to them. Now, did they get together in a room? Or did they just go over on another side of this public meeting place? Don't know. But he got them together. And here's what he said, verse 25. Sirs, you know that by this craft we have our wealth. Fellas, our money is being threatened. Moreover, ye see and hear that not alone, and this is not only at Ephesus, but almost throughout all of Asia. Got the picture? This Paul. Now I highlighted that in my Bible. This Paul. Because now you got Demetrius putting himself in opposition to Paul. And he hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that there be no gods which are made with hands. Fellas, these little statues that are of the goddess Diana, this guy Paul is teaching that there is no God made of little statues. Now you and I know, because of our knowledge of the Bible, that what Paul was saying was true. But he was talking to these workmen. What were there? Half a dozen of them scattered around the city. So that not only, verse 27, so that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world were. This is not just our city, fellas. This involves this whole area. And then he gets really going. He got himself worked up and he said, why, it's going to affect the whole world. So now he's got this men thinking. And verse 28. And when they heard these sayings, he accomplished his goal. He got them stirred up. When they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried out saying, great is Diana of Ephesus, of the Ephesians. Oh boy. Now we got a religious fervor behind an economically motivated group of men. Verse 29. Now you see, you got to realize what's happening here happens today in different areas, different parts of the world. And verse 29, and the whole city. I mean, these guys, they spread these lies, these false news reports. Does that bring it maybe into context today? All right. And the whole city was filled with confusion. And they caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia. They were Paul's companions in travel. And they rushed these two men. Picture it now. A mob of maybe 10, 12 men. They grabbed these two men. And now they're rushing them, pushing them into the theater, it says. So we know we're in a very public place.
That's what the FBI is doing these days.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We need to put the scriptures, they're alive. And they address today's life. Verse 30. And when Paul would have entered in, he wanted to go in the theater. His two companions were rushed into the theater. The whole crowd is going crazy. And Paul wanted to go in there to defend them. And when Paul would have entered into the people, the disciples suffered him not. Suffered generally means permitted. And the disciples wouldn't permit him to go in. No, you can't do that, Paul. They'll kill you. You can't go in there. They're out of control. Verse 31. And certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends. So now we've got some chief people, some chief men. And they were friends of Paul. And they saw what was happening, which were his friends, send unto him, desiring him that he would not adventure himself. Don't go into the theater, Paul. This crowd is nuts. You know, today there are uprisings that take place, and speakers of the truth would be wise to not enter into them. You know, if you don't fan the fire, there's a good chance it's just going to go out. And so they said, Paul, stay out of this. Some therefore, verse 32, some therefore cried one thing and some another. Ah, now we've got a great mob. What do we have now? 500, 800 people? I don't know. I couldn't learn how many, but we got a huge group of people, and some over in this side, they're yelling one thing, and then others over in this side, they're yelling another thing. So there's no cohesiveness, except for the fact that they're against Paul and his message. It says there in verse 32, some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly, this group of people, was confused. And the more part knew not wherefore they were. They didn't even know why they came together. Just everything was going that way. And they heard bits and pieces and enough. So you see it on your television. When you see mobs of people, be it 25 or be it 250, You see mobs of people and they're rushing. And there are good TV channels that go in and interview the people, and they have. And I've heard them say, why are you here? And some of the people have been honest. We don't know. We just know we're against, okay, the Jews. And we're for the Palestinians. And so we don't know why we're here. We identify with that. So there's confusion among the crowd. That's what he's talking about. And that's what we're seeing today. Verse 33. And so they drew Alexander out of the multitude. Now, Alexander, he went in to the theater. And they drew Alexander out of the multitude. The Jews putting him forward. So the Jews that were there. Now, were they part of the mob? Or were they just there trying to calm things down? They drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward. And Alexander beckoned with his hand. Hey, wait, folks. Wait, wait. Now calm down. Listen. I got something to tell you. Now, they knew how to bring their air from their diaphragm, bring it up, and project it out. Perhaps Alexander was one of Pastor and his son's men from years back. Because you know how when they talk, you can hear them. If you've got a mob together, you don't want somebody like this to try and enter in there and talk. Please, people. You don't want somebody. Okay, but not just loud. You want the projection. I think that's probably how Alexander was. And so he beckoned with his hand and would have made defense unto the people. Defense of Gaius and Aristarchus. But when they knew, the mob is the they, but when the mob knew that he was a Jew, anti-Semitism is not new. You know that. But we have right here anti-Semitism. And when they knew that he was a Jew, all with one voice, for 2 hours, they cried, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." What are we going to do? They're going to drown him out. That's what accomplished. He raised hands and said, please, folks, let me explain some things. Let me help you understand what's going on. Because there was confusion among them. But the whole crowd, now there were instigators in that crowd. This didn't just come about because some didn't know why they were here. Others didn't know why they were here. They didn't just all of a sudden get together and understand why they're here. There were instigators in it. Just like today, there's instigators in these mobs. Many of them are brought in from faraway cities. Hired by Soros money. Oh, no, I shouldn't get political. I know I shouldn't apply the scriptures to that, you know. Well.
Truth is truth.
Yeah, I know. I said it. You can't get it back. And I'm not going to worry about it. But for 2 hours, they cried, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." Now, there was some religious motivation to them. Today, there's anti-religious motivation to this kind of action. Now, verse 35. And when the town clerk, now, the town clerk is not just a secretary who records the weddings, okay, and how many tons of salt were bought for the roads. The town clerk was a man of status. One site said he was second only to the commander, that would be the Roman commander, that ruled over that region. So this town clerk was a man of status, and what he said mattered. And the town clerk had appeased the people. Now, is he on Paul's side? Does he believe like Paul? That doesn't appear to be the situation. You'll see that as we go on. But what it does do is show us how God can work in and through and behind the scenes of many things that take place. God is in control. And He's in control of your life and mine. And our difficulty is when we can't see where He's going or what He's doing. And so we pray and we plead with God. And what we really want God to do is not just answer the need. We'd like Him to show us how He's going to do it. And God says we walk by faith, not by sight. Just pray and leave it in my hand. Now you know that's true. And I know that's true. But let me tell you, living it's a whole other thing. And that's where the faith comes in. Knowing doctrine is important. It's very significant. But living it is more important. Or as important. Okay? As important. Because what does it do to have all of this great knowledge if we can't put it into everyday living?
That's right. Amen.
This pie in the sky kind of Christianity. That's not down where the people live.
That's right.
And when we live it, that's what people see. Right. All right, let's get back to verse 35, the town clerk. He had appeased the people, and he said, "You men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how that the city of Ephesus, or Ephesians, is a worshiper of the great goddess Diana and the image which fell down from Jupiter?" Now we know where the image came from. Fell down from Jupiter, at least that's what they thought. And the Mormons think it fell down in Palmyra, huh? See? We're not talking about something ancient. Well, it is ancient, but it isn't ancient in its application. Verse 36, "Seeing then that these things cannot be spoken against." You can't speak against Diana. Don't get yourself all flustered up, folks. Diana is Diana. Why are you worried about these people speaking against it? "Seeing then that these things cannot be spoken against, ye ought to be quiet and do nothing rashly." You know Diana is the real thing. You know Diana is what's important. So why are you getting yourself all worked up? "For ye have brought hither these men, which are neither robbers of churches." Churches there would mean assemblies, okay? Churches there, these men that are not robbers of churches, meaning assemblies of people, "nor yet blasphemers of your goddess." They haven't blasphemed your goddess. "Wherefore, if Demetrius..." That's where it all started with, verse 24. "If Demetrius and the craftsmen which are with him have a matter against any man..." Listen, if Demetrius and these other guys have something against Paul and his workers, the law is open and there are deputies. Let them deal with it. That's what he's saying. Let them implead one another. Let them work it out. Oh, that happens today. Somebody gets a lawyer, and their lawyer meets with the other lawyer. And the people seldom, frequently, are not involved. But the lawyers work it out together. And each one goes back and says, "Look, this is the best deal we're going to get." That's what he's talking about. Verse 39. He says, now, folks, he told them how it ought to be handled, their grievance that they have. And to them, their grievance was legitimate, valid. We have to understand that. When there are people up in arms and against us Bible believers, they believe it. It may be wrong, but they believe it. And we cannot assume that because we know it's not true, why in the world are these people doing this? Well, they don't think like you and I do. And so that's what he's saying here. Verse 39, "But if ye inquire anything concerning other matters, It shall be determined in a lawful assembly. All right. If there are some things, like in other cities, people were listening to Paul and leaving the temple of Diana. If there are any other matters, you're going to have to settle it in a lawful assembly. Now that's one of our grievances today. Amen. The lawful assemblies have become corrupt.
Yes, sir.
That was not the case here. What Rome said worked. And brought stability to wherever they were and ruled. And they allowed the local people to do their local thing, but it could not go against the Roman law. That's what he's talking about. And that's what we want today. That people would be up in arms about Bible Christians and about some issues that are made public. Okay, let's let the law take care of it. Ah, but when you've got corrupt leaders, and there's scriptures that talk about that, when you've got corrupt leaders, you got a problem. He says in verse 40, we are in danger to be called in question for this day's uproar. There being no cause whereby we may give an account for this country. When Rome wants to know, what's going on? What are these 500, 800 people that have caused such an uproar and stir in the city? What is going on? The town clerk, like I say, not just the secretary recording things that happened, but this man's got clout. And he says, what are you going to tell the Romans? How are you going to give an account for what's been going on, seeing that there's nothing that has been done wrong? You got these people thinking this way, and you got the Christians over here thinking that way, and because there's more of the ones over here for Diana, you think you can just rise up and push them out. And what he's saying in verse 40 is that Roman law doesn't work that way. Now, Roman law might end up ruling in favor of Diana and against the Christians, but it's going to be a lawful ruling. It's not going to be mob rule. We'd like that today in some matters, wouldn't we?
Amen.
That there be lawful rulings. Verse 41, and when he had thus spoken, once he said this, he dismissed the assembly. All right, that's it. Go back to your homes. We hear that said today when there's action and finally the police come and they use their bullhorns. They get the crowd dispersed, and then what do they end up saying? Go home. Go home. We'll take care of this. Friends, this is not back up now. Okay, my Bible doesn't have the usher's date on this one. Another, my Bible at home has the approximate date this was happening. Okay, and this is a description of 20,000, what, since 2000 began, and we see these things escalating until now. Here we are 24 years into it, and we see that things have only gotten worse. All right, now I said we're talking about Gaius. I have 5 minutes left. Gaius, a Latin name, used several times in the Bible. As a matter of fact, my Bible dictionary that I made a photocopy of, it gives four times. Another website said there were five times that the name Gaius is used. And the context of where it's used, like here it is in Acts 19, the context helps to know if any other places where Gaius is used, if it's the same person. Just because the name is the same doesn't mean it's the same person. There's more than one Roger. Sorry about that. They're not all like me. But there's more than one Roger. There's more than one John. There's more than one Bob. So when you read about things happening today, you read in the newspaper and it says, Bob did thus and such. You wouldn't assume it was Bob Balow. The context of where it's written determines if it's this Gaius, if this Gaius and another Gaius is the same. I believe there are references to Gaius and it can indeed be the same Gaius as here in Acts 19. Not always, but frequently. The context helps to know if any listed name is the same person. Example, in Acts chapter 19, verse 24, a certain man named Demetrius, now we know he's a bad guy, turned to 3 John. Before the book of Revelation is Jude, and before that are the three letters of John. And we're going to look at John, the third letter, just before the book of Jude, which is before Revelation. And it says in verse 1, the elder, that being John, unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. So here we see a Gaius, and so he's identifying a Gaius, all right, and I believe that Gaius is the Gaius we have in Acts chapter 19. Amen. But I want you to see this. Now you go to the end of this third letter. What's verse 12 say? Demetrius hath good report of all men. So in Acts 19 and verse 24, you have a Demetrius, a bad guy. Here you have the name Demetrius. It's not the same man. It's just the same name. And this Demetrius is a good guy. The other one's a bad guy. How do we know that? By what they did. Randy's a good guy. I know some Randys that are bad guys. And just because they have the name Randy, I don't assume they're the same. And so, whenever you are reading and studying the Bible and you see a name, it's interesting. If, like I say, if you have a reference Bible, a concordance, if you have Bible dictionary, in today, I'm reluctant, but I've said so many times that I've gone to Google and found it, okay? The problem with that is it can open you up to a lot of trash. A lot of trash. You better be in the spirit when you do that. But it is a resource. I had a hole, it was 4 foot wide, 7 foot tall, I forget how many shelves were on it, of commentaries. See, I don't know why I said, forgive me. And I would go to them to find information like Gaius. Is this Gaius, the same Gaius as over here? And they would tell me, I don't need that 7 foot, 4 foot wide anymore. I can do it on my phone. I can go to Google and find out who is the Gaius of John chapter, or John, the third book of third, you know where. And then you, things come up. Now, that's where I say you need a sense of discernment. Yeah. Don't go there if you don't have a sense of discernment or are not in the spirit. Right. If you're walking in the flesh, stay out of there, because it's just going to confuse you. And if you do read something and you think it sounds good, but you're not sure, now that's when you go to pastor. And you say to him, look, I read this and such. If you knew how to, I'm still learning how to do a link, okay? So that I can, you know, mark that down and send it to somebody. I know I asked Charity if she'd help me regarding Megan Schauer, send me a few ideas. She sent me a link to her registry. That gave me all kinds of ideas. But then I had some other difficulties. I'm 80 years old. I don't work with these. I know enough to get into trouble. And that's why I had to text her back. I'd say, what do I do now? And so that's our lesson for today.
Amen.